This morning I want to just bring God's word to you and just to speak really a little bit at the beginning about what God is doing amongst us so that you have an awareness of what he's doing. And if you're not caught up to it yet, God will catch you up, because we all need to be moving together in the Lord. There is something very fresh in the Holy Spirit happening. And if you're discerning, you will discern it. If you're not yet discerning it, you will discern it. Because God wants everybody involved in what he is doing amongst us. And there are some wonderful stories I'm hearing. I've got time this morning to share some of them. But children are having visions from God. I thought we'd praise him for that. That's exciting. God is pouring out his spirit on our children. Thank you, Lord. That's exciting. It's also exciting, adults are having visions. And maybe dreams. I don't know whether any of you are receiving dreams from the Lord at the moment, but there is a freshness of God happening, an awareness, a new awareness of God at work in us and amongst us, and the effect of what he is doing will change the world, because that's what the Spirit is doing. He's moving to transform people's lives because he loves people. And one of the visions that I recently received from the Lord, I thought I'd share this morning. Before I preach the word, I'll just bring a vision the Spirit gave. I was praying and with Pastor Andrew, and we were praying for the church, praying and sowing, really ministering to the Lord in prayer, as is our call as leaders. And as we were praying, I was actually praying in tongues, and we were praying in a different direction, and God interrupted the prayer. I love it when he does that. He brought to mind something. Now, many of you will know what I'm talking about, and hopefully after the teaching this morning, if you've never experienced this, it will become your experience. So I was praying in tongues, and God brought to my mind a picture, and I saw a river running. Now, God's speaking about his Holy Spirit, and Jesus said, speaking of the Spirit, that rivers of living water will flow from within us. And he's speaking about the power of the Holy Spirit as we come to Jesus, believe in him, and drink from him. And so I saw this river running along, and it was horizontal. It was on a level, just moving quite slowly, to be honest. There wasn't any white water. It was just moving. And then I saw this. It was a strange thing, this sudden cliff, a bit like the cliffs of Dover, you know, that go immediately up, straight up. And as the Spirit, really, the Holy Spirit, the river, was flowing, it came to the bottom of the cliff. And then I saw it go up the cliff. And I stopped praying and I said, I've just seen something funny. I've seen a river go up a cliff. And I was astonished. I was astonished at what I was seeing. And the Lord said, what I'm going to do is going to be astonishing. Because normally water falls. If water was coming down the cliff, it would fall. But what the Holy Spirit does, and this is the ministry of Jesus throughout his life and ministry, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit through the church, is that he reverses the natural order of things. So he reverses, when Jesus comes in with eternal life, he reverses sin and death and brings in eternal life. The opposite happens. We become righteous, not sinners. The opposite happens. Wherever Jesus went, he healed. So sicknesses that were impossible to recover from, he reversed them into wholeness and healing. And so what God is going to do amongst us and through us and through you, say through me, is going to be astonishing. Up a cliff, kind of. Wow. Now, everything about the ministry of Jesus actually was quite shocking. His teaching, his authority, people were astonished at the way he would teach. When he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, it was astonishing. When Lazarus came out of the tomb, 3 days he'd been in there. And out he popped. I'm sorry, you and I would have gone. Some of you might have stopped talking. You wouldn't know quite what to say. Where someone who had been dead 3 days came alive. And Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday. Say today. Raising the dead. Today, up a cliff, doing what isn't normal, natural. It's astonishing. And it's all about the life of the Spirit. And there is a place in Thailand where when the monsoon rain comes, Pastor Andrea heard this on Race Around the World. I don't know if any of you have watched Race Around the World. None of you? It's quite good, actually, because there's a lot of travel involved, and I like seeing different cultures and different places. But it's just a series of people trying to get around the world quick to win 20 grand. So there's a bit of motivation. There's a lot of motivation. And they've got to do it instead of buying a ticket on a plane. They've got to do it other ways with the same amount of money. So it's quite a challenge. I really like it. Anyway, on this race around the world, there's a place in Thailand where in the monsoon rains, when it rains a lot, there is a lake which usually a river feeds into that gets so full that it actually begins to go upstream. The river starts to be pushed back. Now, we're going to be in days, and we are in days, where the Spirit is beginning to flow and reverse what Satan's doing, what sin's doing, and what flesh is doing, and bring in the life of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? And so it's time to be astonished. And we are going to see God do things that will make us step back and go, amazing. In a way, we should be living amazed anyway because of the cross. Because Jesus actually did what he did for us. We should live amazed. But when the river, the power of the Holy Spirit came on the early church, people saw an amazing thing happening with God's people, with believers. They were amazed at their life together. There was such a love, a unity, that there was a devotion that they didn't have before, once the Spirit came, to prayer, to fellowship, to teaching of the Word. And to the breaking of bread. They had such a level of devotion which wouldn't have been possible without the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. All things are possible with the Holy Spirit. And people saw this lame man who was years at the temple gate, instantly healed and walking. People saw the boldness of the early church, the preaching. They stood in the face of persecutors who actually had recently crucified Jesus. And they were on the verge, probably, of thinking the same was about to happen to them. And they stood in front of the very people who had been responsible for the crucifixion, naturally speaking, God sent Jesus to die on the cross, but naturally speaking, and they were bold, saying, we must, they tried to silence the message, and they said, we must obey God, not man. We have a message we will never stop speaking about. They were so filled with the Holy Spirit, they had no fear of death. How amazing. It is amazing. You have to really rethink when you read the book of Acts. Tell you what was another little amazing event is when Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead. Because they lied to the Holy Spirit. There's such a move of God going on that people started to walk very carefully. I don't know if you're picking this up from the Lord at the moment. The things that you used to think were okay are no longer okay. That there is a different level of conviction in your own life of sin. Is anybody experiencing this? That actually you're having to say no to what you used to say yes to. Because God is moving. And the early church walked in the power and comfort of the Holy Spirit, but also in the fear of God. We need both. We need both. Because when God moves, it's holy. And we recognize that we're in awe of who he is. And we can't just live like we want, like the flesh wants, let's say. But your spirit wants to live for the glory of God. And so there was this astonishing move of God. And that's what's going to happen with however the Lord wants it to amongst us. But he is going to do this, and he's going to do it all over this nation. And I want to be part of it, don't you? Now, we're going to look at the first time people were astonished was on the day of Pentecost. The world was actually astonished at what they were hearing from the church. So let's look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. This wonderful scripture. On the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Say all. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was an astonishing day. It's the most important day, really, for the church. Of course, there's the cross and the resurrection that just happened. Without that, we couldn't have the Holy Spirit. But the day of Pentecost is when the power of the Holy Spirit came upon the church to do the work of Jesus and ministry of Jesus on earth. And I find it incredible in the mind of God that he thought about this and decided that when the Spirit came, the first gift that would benefit him and glorify him the most at the beginning, that would actually benefit his people, was tongues. Speaking with other tongues that the Spirit enabled them to speak. Don't you think that's amazing? You'd think it would be like a word of knowledge or working of miracles. But the first gift the Holy Spirit gave and was released on the day of Pentecost was the gift of tongues. And often when you go back to the beginning, we have to see what at the beginning of a move of God is here, is that the beginning of the gifts of the Spirit was tongues. And God wants to restore the power of praying in tongues in our lives. To recover this gift, to see it with the mind of Christ, and to actually use it as he intends. The Holy Spirit began to give them words that they'd never learned yet. You know, if you're studying languages, has anybody ever studied a language? I've tried. I'm not good. I did French at school, and I can say parlez-vous français in an English accent, and that's it. But to learn a language, it takes some time, doesn't it? We go through a process of study, of listening and speaking what the sound is like. But on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Spirit, and they began to speak in languages they hadn't yet learned. So rather than going to school for a year, they just received the baptism of the Spirit to speak Greek, Persian. These were languages of the nations, if you go on to see. And you know, it's amazing that God should use these 120 men and women to communicate to them, God speaks my language. Because Jesus said, when the Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to be my witnesses. What was the witness, the first sign? It was tongues. An uneducated, untrained, unlearned bunch of people suddenly became fluent in 120 languages. So the nations heard about the greatness of God. And then Peter steps up and says, don't be so amazed, because they were all astonished. This is that which was spoken of in the book of Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit. This is that. Peter says, it's written, now it's happened. And God wants what is written to become a happening in our lives. Not knowledge, but life. Not something that we know about, but something that we're doing. They all began to speak. You see, the Holy Spirit, they didn't just do this. They began to speak as the Spirit. So they were in partnership with God in the speaking. They let Him speak through them. They let Him speak through them. You see, it's one thing if you imagine the Holy Spirit as water. It's one thing to drink this water and have it in me. Jesus said, with those who believe in me, my Spirit will come and live in you. But it's another thing to jump in a lot of water and start swimming, isn't it? One thing for the water to be in you, another thing for you to be in the water. On the day of Pentecost, it was like they were in the ocean. Suddenly they were immersed in God, the Holy Spirit, and were able to do things that was impossible for them naturally. And when they began to speak with other tongues, immediately it was a witness. And everybody began to say, who is this? What is going on? Some people mocked the gift. But the biggest thing about this is that God had a yielded people that were willing to give their minds, hearts, mouths to Him to use for His glory. To not say, I'm going to control what I say, but to say, Holy Spirit, you lead and govern what I'm saying. That's what it means to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's to allow Him to do what He wants. And it began, the move or the release of the Spirit began with the tongue of human beings. Isn't it interesting? It all started with their mouths. Because everything that God does is through speaking. He creates by speaking His word. And now He says, you will speak with new tongues. Mark chapter 16. Jesus says, these signs will follow those who believe. How many of you are believers here today? What sign is going to follow you? Jesus said, in my name, they will speak with new tongues. Tongues you haven't learned yet. Now, tongues can be one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we can ask God to interpret. So it's one of the 9 spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit you read of in Corinthians. Tongues can speak other languages fluently to a person in the room. I've actually apparently spoken in a dialect of Zambia. Of course, never knew about it, but the woman came to me afterwards and said, "You spoke the dialect of my tribe in Zambia when you were praying in tongues." I said, "Was I? That's nice. I didn't know about it." And you won't know what language you're speaking when you pray in tongues. So there's a language, there's also the gift of tongues which we're to pray and ask God to interpret. But there's also this wonderful thing, gift called the heavenly prayer language, to help us to pray. And it was so important in the early church that everyone received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it was always shown to be the sign of this, speaking with other tongues. When Peter went to Cornelius' house to preach the gospel, this was the Gentiles, the gospel was moving from the Jewish nation out into the nations. And he preached about Jesus. I love this. It's happened actually when to a group of gypsies we were preaching the gospel to one time in Essex. We just preached about Jesus. The same thing happened. The Holy Spirit, without our invitation, I might add, fell on them. And they all began to speak in tongues. And we were like, we didn't. Well, who did that then? God. God. God baptized them in the Spirit. Because they believed in their hearts the message of Jesus. They were cleansed from their sin. God gave them a new heart, put his Spirit within them, and they got flooded, baptized with the Spirit, and spoke with other tongues. When the disciples went to Acts, Paul, I think it was, went to Acts, into Acts chapter 19, there were some disciples there, a little bunch of believers, 12 believers or so. Paul went up to them and was like, "Hang on a minute, I'm glad you're saved. I'm really glad you're saved. But when you believed, did you receive the Holy Spirit?" Can you see how important this question is? After you believed, did you receive the Holy Spirit? That's a question that needs to go out to everybody here this morning. Because believers, in the mind of the early church, must have the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be effective in their walk and life for Jesus. And the disciples there said, "No, we didn't even know there was the Holy Spirit." So they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues and prophesy. So they supernaturally were empowered to do something they had never done before. It's the reverse of the natural order of things. You and I think before we speak. We form our ideas, what we're going to say, and then we say it. But when you pray in the Spirit, it bypasses your mind, which is brilliant for me. Because I have decided my head isn't quite as good as God's. And if it doesn't agree with God, my mind, then I need bypassing. Or I need renewing by the Word of God. We need the Word and the Holy Spirit, don't we? This heavenly prayer language, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. "May you restore the power of speaking in other tongues amongst us, Lord." This morning, 1 Corinthians 14, 14a actually. Paul speaks about praying, this heavenly prayer language. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Say, my spirit prays. Your spirit is that part of you that is unseen, but that has been changed. You've gone from death to life. You were dead in sin, so you're now alive to God. You are a new creation in your spirit, or in your heart is another way Scripture puts it, or your inner man. They all mean the same. Inner man, spirit, my spirit, or your heart. New heart, new person in your spirit. God has put his spirit within you to cause you to walk in his ways. But when we pray in tongues, I love to think my spirit is praying. How many of you know that you can't pray all day in your own language? If Paul says pray continually, it doesn't half help that we have the gift of tongues. Because you can pray under your breath, washing up, ironing, driving, shopping, cooking, sometimes working in the right way. You need wisdom with that. I've woken up praying in tongues at night, woke myself up. My spirit is praying. My preconceived ideas of life, the kingdom, the purpose of God, the destiny of God for me, us, or people I'm praying for, I don't know. I don't know. Romans puts it like this: we often do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself helps us. Aren't you grateful the Spirit himself helps us to pray? I love help to prayer. I love being with people of prayer because they help me. They inspire me to pray. That's why we should get together and pray, because something happens when you pray and you can inspire one another. But God says the Spirit himself helps you. And when my spirit prays, it bypasses my mind because I don't know what to do about that situation. I don't know even sometimes what is going on in my life. Without him, I can do nothing I've decided. I agree with the word. I can't. But he is my helper. Jesus said he will help you to pray. With groaning, sometimes the prayer isn't just let me use the gift. Because we can pray as a decision. We don't have to wait till we go, oh, I feel like it. Because it's a decision of will. Like, I will pray. I will spend time going to my room, to the secret place to pray. I will also make the same decision to pray in tongues. It's something I decide. Okay, not feel. Take the feelings out and live by faith. Live by the will of God. And maybe God will give you the feelings, but if not, praise the Lord anyway. I will pray. Sometimes when the Spirit prays through you, you will go into a different kind of prayer. So you will go from si roho soku taba handere esere behesoka to a zoom mandara hai eso kebra handa azomagande. There's something deeper, stronger. It's like the heart of God behind it. You don't know what you're praying for. But maybe somebody the other side of the world is being set free from something. Or your family member who's backslidden suddenly gets a vision or a dream from God or whatever, and God activity starts to flow. And so there are different ways and expressions of the Holy Spirit. But if you give yourself to praying in tongues, you will experience different things in prayer. My spirit prays. When you're thinking about what you've got to do, your mind is occupied. But when you pray in tongues, you can do that at the same time. It's amazing how the power of the Spirit has been given to us to bless us. When you pray with your spirit, not with your understanding, with your mind, there's both ways of praying. We need both. Your spirit is activated. Some people have a very inactive spirit because they don't pray. Thought I'd mention that. They're very passive. But when your spirit starts to pray, there's like a momentum build-up of God in your life. And God begins to move. Some of the most successful ministries in history. Let's start with Paul, the apostle. He said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. It's almost like it's a bit of a competition with me. I think Paul's saying, come on then, see if you can beat me. Why? Because he's saying, don't be lazy. Don't let it just be a sign you're baptized in the Spirit. Use it. Use the gift. Because we need a move of God. And God began to move through the speaking in tongues of every disciple in that room. Aha. Yes. My vision is we will all be filled with the Spirit, all speak in tongues, and all pray with our spirit. Well, because that's God's vision. None of us think, that's not for me. My mum never did, so it's okay. Or that church don't do it. The thing is, beloved, the word of God is the standard for the church. And if the Bible will back this, it's enough for me. And if this is what it says, then I want to live in what it says. Amen. And I want to throw out what I've been taught that doesn't agree with this. Some people have grown up being taught tongues are from the devil. Wasn't that from the devil? If you can't recognize a lie, read the truth and you'll recognize it's a lie. It's in the Word of God. All began to speak. Acts 10, Acts 19, the history of the church. John G. Lake, Smith Wigglesworth, was a plumber, uneducated. Soon as he got out of bed, it says he put his feet down, shouted hallelujah, and prayed in tongues. Got his feet down. I can imagine he was a bit low. I'm no northern. How do you say a northern? Who's northern? You know, Neil, a bit Neil. He was a bit Neil. He had his, I love that accent. I love that accent. He was a bit Neil, okay? Everybody here, if you're not from here, he's northern. And he put his foot down. Hallelujah. And he began to speak in tongues. And he says the success of the release of the Holy Spirit and the supernatural flow of miracles and signs and wonders, words of knowledge, words of prophecy, all the gifts of the Spirit, he says it comes down to me praying in tongues. And of course, being a man who kept the word constantly before him, fed on the word day and night. So it's the word and the Holy Spirit. But John G. Lake raised the dead, saw incredible miracles. He said, I owe the success of my ministry to the power of praying in tongues. Wow. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, when I pray, my spirit prays when I pray in tongues, but my mind's unfruitful. And I love Paul's mind. He says, I want everything in me to be fruitful. So I can pray in tongues and say, I'll have an ice cream. You know that. I think I'll go and get an ice cream to myself. So I can think about anything praying in tongues. And you? You know what I mean. You can pray in tongues and your head can go anywhere. But Paul says, actually, I don't just want my spirit to be fruitful. I want my mind to be also. So he says, I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. And I will sing with my spirit. Sing in tongues. Part of your worship is to sing in tongues, because partly singing in tongues is declaring the wonderful works of God. And also sing with the understanding. Jesus, you're awesome. You're amazing. So the two are flowing, your mind and your spirit, involved in prayer and in worship. And all the power of the Holy Spirit is flooding you as you give yourself to the life of the Holy Spirit. What I have noticed amongst us is a bit, we've kind of withdrawn from singing with the Spirit. Thought I'd mention that right here, right now. So when the song finishes and people continue to sing with their spirit, many people just listen and don't activate their spirit at that point. And God's saying, no, I want your spirit to continue to pray and sing with your spirit and also sing with the understanding. Got it? Let's be a New Testament church and allow the flow of the Spirit to continue rather than relying on the songs and stopping. Say, God's speaking to me this morning, to somebody next to you. It's an encouragement, guys, to be strong. 1 Corinthians 14 and Jude 20. We're going to look at these scriptures. I think we've got them up here. Praying in tongues means you'll have a strong spirit. The scripture says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself or builds himself up. And in Jude 20, it says, you beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are many kinds of prayer in the Holy Spirit, but the one we're looking at today is tongues. It will include tongues. Praying in the Holy Spirit means partly praying with other tongues. What's interesting about this is that it is our responsibility to have a strong spirit, not God's. Does anybody read this right? You, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. So in other words, it's your responsibility not to have a weak spirit, but a strong spirit. If we're going to see the things that we want to see, the river going up a cliff stuff, you need a strong spirit. And the way to partly, not altogether, because your spirit needs word food. So you need the word of God. But part of your weakness can be down to not praying in tongues. There are many weak believers who don't have a strong spirit and therefore don't actually overcome the flesh. Their flesh overcomes them. They get into sin. They get into all kinds of compromise because they go weak in their spirit and their flesh starts to take over and they backslide. But when you pray with other tongues, and you use the heavenly language, praying in the Holy Spirit, you build yourself up and you have a strong inner man with the Holy Spirit strengthening you on the inside with a spirit of might. This generation needs a move of the power of God. They need to see the same power the early church had. Therefore, we need to restore the power of praying with other tongues. A lot of Christians say, it's a bit like a checklist. Do I believe in Jesus? Tick. Am I born again? Tick. Do I speak with other tongues? Tick. What's next? And they think it's just a sign, but it's not for the exercise of the gift. This continuous life of speaking with other tongues. Some of you are going through things that you will need a strong spirit to win in. You're going to face things that unless you've got a strong spirit, you will fall. Because we need the power of the Holy Spirit and every gift of the Holy Spirit. So the gift of tongues will edify you. The definition of edify is this: to increase the potential. Say that. Oh, come on. Let's see that. Praying in tongues will increase the potential or the capacity. So in other words, you used to be able to do this in God. You pray in tongues, and now you see this much happen. And then you pray in tongues more, and you see that happen. There's a growth. There's a different dimension to the power of the supernatural Holy Spirit working in your life. God wants to increase the power of the strength of your spirit or inner man through praying with other tongues. And sometimes, you know, we've got so much on going on in life. Kids, errands, work, got to see the family, got to do this, got to do that. Imagine all the time, whenever you can, you're praying in tongues. And it's like in every situation, it's like life flows to everybody around you. Life is coming. Because what happened on the day of Pentecost is the river of life began to break out through, first of all, the mouth of God's people through the gift of tongues. And 3,000 were saved. Talk about the river going up a cliff. I pray this morning that we will all have a new honor and thankfulness for the gift of the Holy Spirit that will move us to exercise this wonderful gift, to make more able to serve God, more able to work out miracles. You know, I pray in tongues, and there's been an increase of it in my life recently, which is good. Thank God the pastor is increasing in praying in tongues, because you'll get blessed. I'm praying in tongues more, and I'm far more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I was on my day off on Friday, and I was at a queue. I'm glorifying Jesus with this testimony. And I've been praying a lot in tongues, and I'm there in the queue, and there was this disabled man at the till, and he felt somebody had pushed in, so he was getting mad. You know, the spirit of the world is aggressive, it's angry. The spirit of Christ is peace-giving, peace-loving, brings peace. And when you're strong in the spirit, you will see. It'll be like the river of life, peace flowing into that situation. And I stood there and I went, hey, don't worry, mate, just come in front of me. Now, if you know how much I hate queues, that's a miracle. Supernatural, it's a reversal of my nature. Well, my nature is a new nature, but my flesh, the nature of my flesh is me first. The Spirit says, you first. So anyway, that's already a miracle. Please come ahead. And so he comes into the queue, And he's kind of maneuvering. And I said, can I do that for you? And he wanted to do it on his own. So he's sorting it on his own. So he's putting his shopping up on there. And it's a bit awkward. And I was like, I'm here, I can help, you know. But he's just, you know, he's an angry man. So he's just standing there quiet. And then as he puts his mushrooms up, okay, the conveyor belt jerked. You know how it can, sometimes it can jerk. And the mushrooms come off onto the floor. Well, he starts to rail loudly. So the whole store, probably you heard him because you were in another aisle, shouting and screaming in a not very nice manner with nice words. There was no nice words. To the till, the guy working the till, he was doing the customer in front. You know, he's got to work. It's not his fault. And it was like a move of God in littles. I'm serious. It's the Holy Spirit, different spirit. So that I get this. I said, oh, mate, it's not his fault. Look, let me help you. It's okay. Let me get these mushrooms. So I'm picking up the mushrooms. And I look at this guy and I say, so he can't help it. He's got to do his job. And so I'm like, I'm bringing peace there. I'm going, it's okay, keep going. Get back in the queue. And I'm like, that's a move of God right there. Because I know me without God. And I know he's changing me from one degree of glory to another. That's part of praying in tongues. You become far more spiritual. More like Jesus. You will be the peacemaker in that situation. You will bring peace where people want to kill each other. I remember Pastor Andrew, she once worked in a drugs place, rehab place. And these two guys who were on this course were about to beat each other up. They were doing a bit of, I don't know, mindfulness or whatever they do to try and help them, you know. God delivers and sets free from addiction. This trying to manage it. And these guys, massive blokes who are slightly violent, wanting to kill each other, started to move from sort of they were sitting in a circle to the middle, like sumo wrestlers. She could tell it better than me. And she went, you know, little past around here. She went up under and went, it's okay. You don't have to do that. And it just diffused the situation. You know, we've got power. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit to bring something different. But praying in tongues really increases the power and activity of the Holy Spirit. It increases your ability to see Jesus, to have revelation of the Word of God, to have visions. When you pray, it's like you get a picture immediately and you're praying what God is showing you. And it's just so supernatural. From the little things relationally to the big things. When you pray in the Spirit for your business or where you work, God will begin to open doors. Because your mind cannot really adjust to everything that God wants to do to bring his kingdom and his purpose into that place. But just pray in tongues. People have come in with such remarkable thoughts from God. Maybe, just maybe, Brexit, if, when, and all that. Maybe, just maybe, you will really need God to keep your company or business or job going. Hello? Councils. Pray in tongues. Because he will bring everything together for good for those who are called according to his purpose, those who love him. You'll have all your ducks in a row. Yes. That's what it means. Bring all things will work together for good. Amen. All your ducks in a row. All things will work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Because the Holy Spirit is praying through you with other tongues that you don't know anything about. But he is working. I love it. He's working. I'm going to work in you. I'm going to work in them. And I'm going to bring everything together so that my divine purpose and kingdom will come. So exciting. So exciting to pray in tongues. Are you catching the vision of God's word and God's plan to make us stronger in spirit? To release the power of the Holy Spirit. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.